Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. As you know, all of these podcasts would not happen without all of my amazing sponsors, and I wouldn't have those sponsors if my audience didn't go to their websites, purchase things from their websites, and support those sponsors. And I'm so thankful that all of you have been doing exactly that. There's not a single month that goes by that I don't receive feedback from companies like Luxon MX. You can save 10% off every single order with Big MX 2025 at checkout. And same thing with Backyard Designs. Those guys are amazing. And now they also do custom paint jobs. They do custom wraps on your helmet, and that can be discounted as well. Big MX 24 saves you 24%. I talked to Jared about making that a 25% discount code. Yeah, it's only one extra percent, but hey, it all helps, right? So go to the website. As of right now, it's BigMX24, but we're looking to change that for February. Same goes with Racetech, guys. If you mention Racetech when ordering parts, you're going to save, I believe it's 15%. Same goes with WUSA. If you're looking at a brand new set of wheels, maybe if you're just looking for you can take your stock hubs and get a set of wheels built, mention Big MX Radio, you're going to save some money. Guts Racing, Big MX 20 saves you 20% at checkout. So far it's been really amazing working with some of these companies. We don't have a discount code for Moose Racing yet, but we're looking forward to working with those guys throughout the year, and they've got some great offerings on the gear side of things as well as the hard parts. If you haven't checked out Moose Racing's hard parts, honestly, they've got some of the best in the business and certainly some with the best bang for your buck. So I would seriously go check those guys out. We're also working with race winning brands this year. A couple of companies that have sort of jumped on board to be advertisers here on Big MX Radio, Pro-X. Not only the pistons, but also the myriad of hard parts that they also have, as well as Recluse clutches. If you're in the woods, you're going to want a Recluse. It's just the thing to use out there when you're going over the roots and the rocks and all that fun stuff. A Recluse clutch is something that you're definitely going to want to look into if you're doing some more of that. But we're about 2 minutes into this podcast. We haven't talked about the racing, so let's get straight to it. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to support my sponsors. Would not be able to do it without them, and would not be able to do it without listeners like you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Luxon MX. You can go to luxonmx.com right now, enter discount code BIGMX Radio 2024 at checkout, and you will save 10% off your entire order. If that's a set of triple clamps, I just handed you $100, and you can thank our friends over at Luxon MX. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, a very special guest here on the podcast for this episode. First time guest, and he probably will not be the last time he's coming on the show. He'll definitely be a repeat offender here on Big MX Radio, is the 113 of Braden Spangler. Braden, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Braden Spangle is probably a name that a few people may not have heard of prior to Saturday. You're a privateer. You're in 250 Supercross West. But by the end of Saturday, whether you raced or not, I feel like you may have earned yourself a few extra follows on social media despite being DQ'd.
Yeah, dude, the social media has been crazy, whether it was positive or negative. I've definitely seen a lot of growth on my socials, so.
Fair enough.
I don't know which way to look at it, but a lot more followers.
Well, I guess they say there is no such thing as bad press, although it seems like the powers that be over at Feld Entertainment seem to feel otherwise, and as well as the AMA disqualifying you. So let's just dial the clocks back a little bit. Take me through the day and the practice session in question. And I'm assuming at this point you actually remember the lap pretty well. So take me through it, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, free practice went good. I was sitting, like, P7 in the B practice. First qualifier, I was not too stoked on my lap. I was sitting, like, 34th overall. And so second qualifier, man, I was already frustrated because they red flagged the C practice, which was right before us, about three times. And then I wasn't mad that they reflagged or red flagged that practice, but I was more mad because in our practice they had a red cross flag out for, I'd probably say, 4 minutes of the practice. So every lap I'd come around to try and get a good lap in, we'd have a red cross flag out in the next section. So I don't know why they didn't red flag it. They wasted half our practice on a red cross. So I was already pretty frustrated about that. And then I had about a minute. I want to say I looked at the board and we had about a minute left of qualifying. So I tried to space myself out pretty good from others so I could get a good lap in. And unfortunately, I just caught whatever his name is. And
Cut up to Wyatt.
he didn't. Yeah, shout out. But he didn't do the three into the turn, and I did. And I kind of gave him a little rev just so he knew I was up the inside. And I mean, I cut down and did my 2-3-1, and I just had like a weird feeling like he was gonna blow me up on the inside. So I kind of looked just a little bit to the inside as I was rolling that single, and sure as crap, he got me good there. And then I just tried to, I mean, I had one turn left to finish out my lap, so I was, went to go up the face of the double, and man, he got me good again. So.
Yeah, it seemed like I've watched the lap back a number of times now, and the amount of contact, especially here in qualifying, is not completely estranged to the sport whatsoever. You guys are all trying to put in the best lap that you can, and yeah, like if guys or some guys are on a fast lap, some guys aren't. Some guys' fast lap is not what the other guys is, and you make contact. The biggest thing is that you get able to move forward and go about your practice. The rider in question, Wyatt Mattson, in this case, didn't feel like that was how things should be carried out, and decided to confront you about it. And yeah, it was all over race day live. Like you probably, when you woke up on Saturday morning, didn't think that Adam Ciancerullo and Justin Brayton were going to be calling what could only be considered to be a little bit of a dust up during your qualifying practice.
Yeah, dude, it was definitely a lot to take in on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, but I guess you live and you learn, right?
You certainly do. So, immediately following that situation, who comes up to you? Is it like, and I'm actually sort of curious as sort of like how the approach was really carried out. Was there anger from the powers that be? Was there a level of calmness where they're like, hey, we can't have you doing that. We've disqualified you for the rest. How did it sort of work out?
Also, immediately after that, of course, I was randomly selected for sound check. So
Crazy
I,
enough.
yeah, crazy enough. So I go over there. My bike ends up failing sound just barely. So they took away my fast lap or one of my fast laps. And then I go back to the pits. And actually, a guy from Vital MX came up to me first, found me, and talked to him a little bit, and then the AMA crew came by and basically showed me the statement and whatnot, showing that I was DQ'd, and they were super cool about it. Like there was no problems, no issues, and yeah, I mean it was pretty quick and simple.
Fair enough. Yeah, essentially, it's like not to use a hockey reference, but 2 minutes for you can't do that. Yeah, the two of you guys get into it a little bit, and that's the rest of your night. Costs you some money as far as racing the night show. But as far as we know, and you can confirm this, you are good to go for Glendale this weekend, which will be a high pressure situation for guys like yourself. Trying to make it into those night shows, that like the night program, because that is, of course, a triple crown. You got to be part of the fastest 22.
Yeah, no, we're good to go for Glendale. I'm already signed up and all that, and yeah, I mean, Triple Crowns aren't easy, so we just got to make fast 40 and then race that LCQ or whatever we got to do to get into the main event.
Certainly. So, and I hope you're able to do exactly that. So obviously, like, the whole situation, not what you signed yourself up for. You're trying to race, you're trying to move forward, you're trying to put your best foot forward for sponsors like Skills and Viral Brand. You've got a ton of great people in your corner. Yeah, like what was the some of the reaction or some of the feedback that you got from some of your loyal supporters, of which you have many?
Man, dude, I really didn't get any negative
That's
flack
good.
from it. Honestly, a little head shaking and stuff like that. Like, don't do it again. But I mean, other than that, I haven't received anything negative from any of my supporters.
There you go. So, and that's good to hear, man. Look, good to hear that some people have your back and are in your corner. And like I said, you've got a ton of great sponsors in your corner. You got the Viral Brand goggles, Skills Racing taking care of your Skills MX, taking care of your gear. Guts Racing, of course, everyone can use Big MX 20 to, or yeah, Big MX 20 to save 20% off of Guts Racing seat covers. Mika Metals helping you out. Yeah, take us through the support a little bit and the program of Braden Spangle. Like, you've been at this, you've been riding it at the professional level for a number of years now. Like, Supercross is something that I think you're still progressing at. Your better days are ahead of you, as far as that's concerned. But yeah, tell us a little bit about rolling into 2025, what that's looked for you, and some of the companies that have gotten in your corner and remain and have decided to stay there.
Yeah, so this is my second year racing Supercross. A lot of people don't know, but I started riding when I was 16 in
Jesus.
2015. So, I mean, I've been in the sport for 10 years now, and I still feel pretty new to it, you know?
No
But
kidding.
man, yeah. So like over the years, I mean, I've met a lot of good people, good sponsors. I mean, Scott Steffi of Viral Brand, he picked me up literally since day one. So
Very
I've
cool.
been with
Scott's a
them
good guy.
forever. Yeah, super good guy. I mean, Factory Effects with Graphics, I just signed with them this year. All the local companies back home in Washington. Sapphire Construction Services, Cage Paintworks, Arson Racing, Carrillo's Carriers. I mean, dude, there's so many guys that come into play to help me out. And I actually gained a couple, nothing set in stone yet, but I gained a couple sponsors after this weekend.
Yeah, fair enough. Like, and also you're probably the only athlete, aside from Wyatt, I guess, that is gonna, if in the sport of motocross, has got featured on Barstool this year. Like, Jet Lawrence might be able to say a lot of things, but in 2025, that's not one of them.
Yeah, that was a crazy thing to see. I actually, someone sent me a link about Fox News as well.
Fox News. Well, hey, if there's a news outlet to get on, that might just be at the top of the list, or at the bottom of the list, depending on which way you hit the polls. But yeah, like, so for yourself, only being in the sport for 10 years, like 16 is extremely late to get into the sport. Like, there's a lot of kids who consider getting into the sport at 10 or 11 to be late. Like, you're a like, did you even ride little bikes at any point, or are you only on full size bikes?
Okay, so
Yeah, take me through this now.
I rode a 50 when I was 5 years old. I mean, my dad had me riding for like a year when I was five, which I mean, I don't even count because I picked back up when I was 16 on an
Yeah,
02
11 years
YZ
off the bike
450F.
doesn't count.
Yeah, so I mean, I had no base. There was nothing there. But yeah, I mean, I started riding again on an 02 YZ450F in 2015. So first race, I got like 12th in the beginner class at my local track. But yeah, I'm pretty hard headed and I like to be good at what I do. So we just stuck to the grindstone and now we're here.
Fair enough. And like, so like one thing that I've noticed is that just going through your feed is you're actually a good follow, like long before this happened. I mean, it looks like you've currently, you're at 28.5 thousand followers. And I don't know where you were at prior to the weekend. Do you remember?
I was at like 26.7, I think.
Okay, so we've gained 2,000 followers over the weekend. I actually thought you'd have more of an uptick after that. But for a guy who hasn't been in it for very long, and you've obviously fostered some great relationships with some good cool sponsors and some good people around you, obviously Scott Steffi, who are some guys from back west that you're still connected with, that you grew up riding with, that maybe that first year when you showed up in the beginner class were racing away from you, but now here in 2025 you've flipped the script on them?
Dude, so back then, I don't know if you know who Brad Knotted is.
I do know Brad Knotted. Interviewed him at a Canadian National years ago.
Yeah, so back then, that was the guy that I was looking up to. Brad, Chris Howell.
Yes.
Those two were the, those
Chris
two
was
were
racing
my,
yesterday
my guys.
Or Saturday.
Yep. So I still have a very good relationship with those guys. And yeah, but I mean, I looked up to those boys.
No kidding, for sure. What about a guy like Levi Kitchen? I think he's a couple years your junior, but you guys would at least be like somewhat from the same area.
Yeah, I got a good relationship with Levi. I've known him for quite some time. My buddy Justin Haberlock is actually in relationships with his sister.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So there's, hey, it's a tight-knit family over in the Pacific Northwest. What's sort of the racing program look like as far as the season goes? You're racing West Coast Supercross, obviously. What's the lodging situation like? Do you have a full-time mechanic that stays with you? Who wrenches on your bike? Is that a buddy? Is that are you basically sort of just paying his way out of what you win? Which over this weekend, probably like if you guys are eating a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, I completely understand on that respect. But, what's that look like?
I'm a one man show actually.
Wash and dry.
As far as
I like
this
it.
Year, yeah. So this year, I'm riding for Privateer Paddock, and basically pitting under their tent. And they did get me a race day mechanic. So that's the first time I've ever had a legit guy with me on the line, and that's been stress free. It's nice having someone that knows what they're doing, and I don't have to really worry about doing all my bike work and make sure the bike's good when I should be resting. So,
no kidding. So, like, if anyone's happened to be listening to this in BroCal, like, are we looking to possibly have someone come in? Obviously, we're balling on a budget here. We're privateering it in 250 Supercross. Would you be accepting applications if someone happens to listen to this and be like, "Yo, I might want to spend some Spanish for that kid"?
I mean, for sure, but we got to find a good sponsor that will pay that wage.
Fair enough. Maybe you dial up Scotty Atkins over at with his mechanic schooling. But so yeah, like when we're not racing Supercross, like I know we've seen you in Arena Cross. We're gonna get to that in a short bit here. When like the Washougal National rolls around, do we throw our hat in the ring? Are we racing some outdoors, or are we more of an indoor guy?
Definitely more of an indoor guy, but I mean I would never pass up racing the Washougal National. You know, back home. Just couldn't miss that one. So we'll definitely always be at that race. There's just really no benefit to traveling for outdoors. You know, you go score mid-20s and you make $300 and yeah. That doesn't even cover your entry. So I do a lot of local stuff back home during the summer and kind of bag outdoors and just hit Washougal.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair. Keep yourself a little bit fresh so you can hit maybe Thursday night Supercross the night before, and then then obviously the National. Have you made them? I apologize for not knowing, but have you made the motos at Washougal before?
Yeah. Yep.
That's badass.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite tracks. So I wouldn't want to miss the motos there. That's for sure.
So, who is more of a Washougal legend, Ryan Huffman or Tommy Week? And also, I need your best story from either one of those if you have some experience.
Ryan Huffman for sure.
Wow,
that guy.
Shade on Tommy
Week. That guy is. I don't know Tommy too well, but I know Ryan pretty well, and that guy's still savage to this day on the bike. He actually helps me out a lot with practice days during the week when they're closed.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as best story, I would say during the week I was doing some motos there before the National, and he was not letting me ride by myself. He hopped on the track and he'd hop in front of me on his 450 and try and roost me as hard as he could when I was about 20 minutes in, just to throw me off. So that's probably one of the best stories I have with him.
Fair enough. Glad to hear that that guy still has the skills to pay the bills and can roost you. What are you old enough to have remembered or even be aware of a guy like Brian McGavran, or is that completely off your radar?
No, dude, that's off my radar. Like I said, I'm still meeting like legends that
I have no
idea about.
The fact, like, cause like based off your like moto age, you're 10, not 26.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's actually quite funny is that, yeah. But also Brian McGavran was like the only, like he had a great little pro career. He was in almost every Terra Firma back in the day because he was a Fox guy and West. So that always made a lot of sense. But for the most part, I don't fault you whatsoever for not knowing Brian's work. Although at this point, maybe we need to do some Google searching. But, who did you look up to? Like, or did you look up to any pros if you got in so late?
Locally or like nationally?
I mean, I guess both. Like if you got in 10 years ago, like technically you could still have been like a Villopoto guy.
I really wasn't, dude. I was a Stu guy.
Ooh, he's a Stu guy. I was a big Stu guy.
Yeah, as soon as I started watching Supercross and Motocross, Stu is my favorite rider. So.
Fair enough. That I've always been a Stu guy. I was a Kawasaki kid growing up. I went and saw Stu at the end of 05 when he had switched to number 7. I brought the 259 two-stroke poster to him. He took one look at it and knew exactly what to do. He knew what I wanted. He goes, James Stewart, 259. And I was like, this is my guy. So, yeah, all the time in the world for James.
That's sick.
Yeah, no, super rad. I have that poster somewhere around here. It's not up, but it should be. So what's the plan for the rest of the series? Obviously, you'll be in Arizona, and I honestly super feel for a lot of privateers who show up to Triple Crown events because the format is literally built against y'all. Like, if you're not part of the Fast 18, you're going to an LCQ full of just a pack of rabid dogs that are going for those four spots as the track is baked after a day of riding it all day. And then we're on a little bit of a break before the series comes back. Do we head back up to the Pacific Northwest? Do we hunker down in Brocal? What's the deal?
Kind of playing it by ear right now. I'm hoping to go to Arlington after the 2 week break, but
okay,
that just all depends if I can find a little more support. So
transportation costs.
If I can't, yeah, yep. So if I can't find that, then we're gonna pack it up and head back to the Northwest and get ready for some local races until Seattle comes around.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, that is that. Like, I would love to hear that through all this, you receive some extra support and are able to bolster the whole effort and be able to make it out to Arlington. Of course, that's a beautiful stadium. On top of the fact that you want to be able to race all the races. Now, I want to. I'm not going to let you get off this podcast until we talk about a specific. It was a bit of a wild ride, and I might have plans to repost the video that that Verb posted. I think it was 2 years ago now, of yourself having an awfully hard time. And this is obviously, you've made a lot of progression. You've made some strides since your Arena Cross days. A set of whoops where there's at least four different times during this video that I think that you're gonna save it, but you super don't. And I need you to go through it a little bit because, yeah, I'm just gonna call it Spangle's Wild Ride because, dude, you rode the front for like six whoops minimum.
Yeah, that was not fun. So basically, that was in Loveland, Colorado for AMA Arena Cross, and those whoops were, I would say, probably one of the biggest sets of whoops that I've ever hit, or probably top three. And they were super hard pack, super slick. And I think there's probably only three or four of us actually blitzing them. But in free practice, they put hay bales out on the right side of the loops to keep that side fresh. And in qualifying, they took the hay bales out so we could hit the right side. Well, I came into them to send it in qualifying first lap, and the entry whoop on the right side was a little bit taller than the left that I've been hitting. And I went to hop up on top of the loops, and I just hopped right over the first whoop and dropped right into them, and then the ride took off from there.
Yeah, no, you were a passenger. And a lot of other people would be too. I'm sure there's people watching me like, whoa, you should have made an ass of yourself there. But honestly, Arena Cross whoops are maybe, I wouldn't, sorry, you can tell me from first-hand experience. I would say that Arena Cross whoops are more difficult than Supercross whoops. And the fact that they're usually so close out of the corner and the corners are so tight, it's really difficult to get on top of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, it also depends on how they build them. Like, there's been some rounds of Arena Cross where they're so close together that it's completely different than anything I've ever ridden. And then there's other rounds where they're so steep where Supercross whoops are, I mean, they're built the same distance every time. They might be a little bit bigger here and there, but they're all rolled out super big. As whereas like Arena Cross, they can be a lot steeper, which that's when it gets kind of hairy. So I guess it just depends. But yeah, I would say Arena Cross whoops definitely can throw you off a little bit more than Supercross whoops.
Fair enough. So, yeah, that's good feedback to know. There's not a lot of guys who have a ton of experience racing both of those, and being able to tell the tale. Braden, I know you've got a ton of great sponsors. By the time we talk next, you'll probably have added some to that. Heck, you've done that just in the last week here. Give us some of those supporters some love here on the podcast, and I'll let you get on with the rest of your evening.
Yeah, I mean, Factory Effects with the graphics, Cage Paintworks, they're always taking care of me on the helmet paint jobs. Shoot Skills with the gear. PDR Motorsports, huge shout out to them. They build all my bikes. They do suspension, motors, they do literally it all for me. Man, all the locals back home, Ride Mac Moto, Arson Racing, Carrillo's Carriers, H&S Unlimited was actually one of my title sponsors this year. They helped me out big time. Yeah, P3 Carbon, HGS Exhaust, Tamer Hole Shot Devices, Moto Frenchies. They hooked me up with a long-haired Frenchie to bring with me. So
Like a dog?
there's a lot of cool people. Yeah.
Okay. Moto Frenchies. Like they're just loaning out dogs.
Yeah, they gave me a dog to advertise.
That is rad. Is that Zeus?
Yep, that's Zeus.
Zeus is just up, just chilling. Like, are we looking for a dog food sponsor? Is this the comeback of the Blue Buffalo team?
Dude, it might as well be. His dog food is so expensive.
Jeez, that's awesome. Well, Braden Spangle here on the Big MX Radio Podcast. Braden, I really appreciate you making some time for me, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. It's been a good talk.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, hopefully by the time we talk to you next, you'll have like an Everlast or maybe the Ultimate Fighter will be on your bike in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, I'm excited to chat with you again sometime soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Killer. Don't hang up just yet. But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off right there.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get
it on. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins.